We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For reasons which I will explain after we have sung it, I would like to begin this evening by singing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
As many of you may know, I've just returned from a 7-week, what I'd like to call, Holden trip through Europe and the Middle East with 42 people. Many of the people that went with me were people that I met in Holden, people that are on the staff here, people that have been in the lifestyle program here. It was our habit, whenever we had our evening meal, to begin the meal by singing the doxology. We ate our evening meals in some unique places, cafeterias, hotels, 6 nights on a boat cruising through the Aegean, Jerusalem, Istanbul, Athens. Every night it was the doxology. We got pretty good at singing the doxology. So good, in fact, that one lady, after we had finished singing in Oberammergau, asked us to sing it again. We were hungry, and so we declined. But we knew we were good. In fact, the better we got, the longer we held the ah on amen. Sort of like an Italian tenor when he knows he's good. The ah on amen got so long by the end of the tour, even longer than you just sang it just now, that a number of us thought we had developed a whole musical form and referred to it as the sevenfold ah. It was an incredible trip, and as soon as my slides come back, I will bore you to death. Suffice it to say that with a group of people who had such a common ground, who were so like-minded as this group was, even before we left, that to worship in Chartres Cathedral or Notre Dame in Paris, or Beauvais, Pisa or Florence, and to see the works of Michelangelo and Leonardo and Raphael was a tremendous growing experience. It was learning, but it was also changing, which I suppose all learning is, and so it was therefore a hurting experience. It was our practice to celebrate the Eucharist once a week. There were temptations from time to time to do it once a day because the place seemed to demand it and the experiences seemed to call for it. But we figured that if we had done it once a day, we might get jaded on just bread and wine. It wasn't always on Sunday that we did it, but looked forward to doing it at certain special spots. We went swimming one Sunday on the Sea of Galilee, and at the building built at the site, according to pious tradition, of the miracle of the loaves and fishes, we decided to have our Eucharist service in the church, and the priest would not let us enter because we were wearing shorts. I told the priest that I thought he was making a serious mistake. And so on a tree, under a tree outside the little church, we sat and asked Christ to come out of his church and celebrate with us, which he sure enough did. So much so that the little priest came over and said in the middle of our service that we were welcome to go into the church even though we had our shorts on. We declined but asked him to celebrate the Eucharist with us outside because Christ had no building committee. The entire trip was diminished at the last moment by 3 days because of expenses. So before we left, while we had planned to come back on the 29th, the 3 days at the end which were cut off caused us to come back on the 26th of July, which made our last day in Europe the 25th of July, and for those of you who know Holden Village, you know that the 25th of July is Christmas. The last day of our trip was spent at Bethel in Bielefeld, and once again, I am not sure how many of you know what Bethel is. Those of you who have been here have some inkling of it, have probably sent stamps there. Bethel is a Gemeinde, a congregation of 13,000 people, 90% of whom are sick with epilepsy, mental disorders, physical handicaps of the most egregious nature, or who are, as they call them in Bethel, tramps, wanderers, homeless people. So on Christmas, we visited Bethel, and there we're privileged to be introduced to some of the care procedures, the way love is demonstrated to, I would imagine, people most of us would consider not lovable. And if I never die, I will remember as vividly as the day I was there, the treatment of one epileptic on horseback, a new caring procedure using animals to do the caring, the massaging, the moving of immovable limbs. A therapist got on the horse and assisted a man bent over almost double onto the back of this beautiful, huge, dapple gray animal. He was in a helmet and straps. He carried his cage with him. She held him around the waist as he rode around the rink. And then after about 5 minutes, she whispered to him, "Jetzt ganz allein." And now, all alone. And she slid off the back of the animal, and he just sat there for a moment, bent over and unsure, and then seemed to straighten himself up, and the most beatific smile rose on his face. It was like honey and sunlight. And he turned into Charlemagne and a prince of the Roman Empire. And he laughed. And we were almost afraid to laugh for his joy. It was the first time he had ever been on the great horse. And he loved us for being there. Loved us, I think, because he honestly knew what love was. We helped him off the horse, and he took us to his room and showed us birds and plants and took us to his studio, where with a cup strapped to his wrist, he made little goblets, blue and white. And we gave him a gift in exchange for this little goblet and took it back to our hotel, where we celebrated the Eucharist with this. And not all of the chalices of Louis XIV or Richard the Lionhearted were ever used with more meaning or with greater dignity or love than the chalice of this poor, incredible, and beautiful man from Badel. The means of grace comes through unexpected people and events. Almost 2 years ago to the day, I stood here after just getting to Holden. It was a rough year at Valpo, and I was glad to be gone from it. And I remember the text that I talked on. It wasn't from the Bible. It was from Dr. Martin Luther King. It was, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free from grade books, free from professor-student business, free from shopping, free from television, free from all that stuff. And not just free for a couple of weeks. I was going to be here on my sabbatical for even more than a year. A year of Holden. And even during that first week, I began to plot how to stay even longer. How to break something. How to get in horrible debt. but ultimately how to postpone the inevitable, and when that didn't work, how to figure out in what seemingly miraculous way one might take this place back home. I don't worry about it anymore. After traveling with 42 beloved people, I have come to the conclusion that it is not possible to take Holden back home, and that's okay. That is, in fact, just fine. For there are Holdens enough and hundredfold for each and every one of us, wherever you choose to call home, wherever, even if for a night, you wish to spend some time. There are Holdens enough anywhere, if only we will stop wondering where they are and begin to live the excitement of being blessed children. Amen. Let's rise and sing hymn number 169. We are thankful that your gift of love is not reserved for the heroes, the daring, the brave, or the lovely. You have shared it with us, Heavenly Father. May it enable us to grow in your grace and to be sensitive to the beauty of your creation, the company of our imagination, and the hopes we find in our dreams. Let us go in peace. We dare not stop here. However sweet these laid-up stores, however convenient this village, we cannot remain. However clear these waters, we have no anchor here, and even the hospitality which may surround us permits us to receive it but a little while, for we have living to do, and the perceptiveness to do it in the peace which is within us. And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen. God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. Pharisees aren't horrible. Pharisees are really sort of good. I think I'm a Pharisee, or at least I used to be. Now I'm okay. But I still wear my Pharisee outfit. You see how it sets me apart. I do Pharisee things. I have a list, very much like the Pharisees' list. I contribute to churches. I teach in a church-related school, perhaps skipping breakfast might be counted as fasting. I don't do awful things, and I hate tax collectors. Furthermore, I know lots of folks who don't have as good a Pharisee credential as I have, and I think I'm better than they are. By better, I guess I mean better in God's eyes also, because after all, that's where it really counts. Being a Pharisee is not difficult. It's a matter of making lists, weighing off the good list against the bad list, doing your best to keep the good list longer than the bad list. Somewhere on the good list, however, is the obligation of thanksgiving. I am supposed to be thankful. And that's difficult for a Pharisee. Pharisees' thanksgiving is very unique. Normal thanks, the kind that we're so used to here in the village, is a matter of involving gratitude for something that someone has done for you or has given to you? With the Pharisee system, however, you thank God for something that you have done for God. I thank you, God, that I have made my good list longer than my bad list. That's not difficult to understand. It would really be kind of fruitless to thank God with normal thanks. Heavenly days, you'd be doing nothing but walking around, sitting, eating, and sleeping, thanking God all day long. Can you imagine a typical thanks list? And you've got to have a list. I mean, if you say thank you every time Matthew gives you a stone, think of the thank you system you'd have to devise for the Heavenly Father. Besides, such a system would actually make God seem somewhat ridiculous. Even as a Pharisee, I know I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm actually pretty silly. To list gifts which shower down on us whether we're thankful or not makes God out a fool. A Holden to come to, a place to go to from here, at least one friend apiece, good food, more than enough trees. I only need one tree, and there are more than enough. Flowers, stars. All you need is one. You got scads of stars. Everybody has enough stars. It's sort of like the 90-year-old lady who filed for divorce. Separation from the man that she had been living with for 65 years, and the grounds were, enough is enough. God knows how long that list is. He can't be interested in having me recite every day how much I am thankful for. Better, I think, that I should make God happy with my performance on his behalf. Who knows? He might even wind up thanking me. Look at that tax collector. Humility is fine. I mean, it's on my good list. But how does he expect to show real thanksgiving with all that breast beating? Is it really possible to be thankful and humble at the same time? Try this. Try smoting your bosom and saying, Our Father, at the same time. Look at your feet and say while you're shuffling, thank you for the stars you gave me last night. One would have been enough, but I'm truly grateful for the millions. Try being humble on your way to the bread and wine. Try it, really try it, while you're singing, thanks be to God, the Father Almighty. Thanks be to God who came to this earth. Who came to this earth. Now that's humble. Do you believe that for real humble? The water maker? The flower sprouter? The fashioner of firmaments? Placer of Pleiades and the buckskin bouncer? Comes to a cave that he created, becomes the diver dropping into the middle of the messes we made of his amazement, gets involved in our part of his cosmos, comes into it all to die, redeems the whole blessed thing. I believe that. I mean, I really do.
And that's why my prayer doesn't really do the job of thanking that it should. I guess the thanks that God wants is the thanks that glorifies. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, is thanks. Because it lets God be God. It also lets the tax collector be the tax collector. To be thankful that I am not like other folks is to be thankful that I have no need of Mary's boy child. No need for God dead on a cross. No need for empty tombs. The only result must be that I have no need either for his redeemed creation. Thankfulness and humility together must involve getting messed up in all that Jesus redeemed. All sorts and conditions of people, his creation, being humble is really being continually amazed at the space between stars, at fingernails on a 1-hour-old baby, at berry pie at night with friends, at what anyone can make when they feel happy. Being humble is expecting as much from where we are going as from where we are right now. Being thankful is remembering that when you get there. Being humble is knowing that Jesus is Lord of your messes and not just King of the good stuff. Being thankful is knowing who your Father really is and what he wants for you. Being humble is accepting the gifts of the Spirit. Being thankful is knowing that this puts you smack into the middle of the body of Christ and not a pious pace ahead. Being thankful is knowing everything that your Heavenly Father is and is giving you. Knowing all that you have from him and asking for more. Enough is not enough. Could I scratch that first prayer? I'm still sort of thankful that I am not as other folks are. But I'm equally thankful that other folks are not as I am. Still in all, this Pharisee could use another prayer. Lord, someday soon people will celebrate life every day. Someday soon, people will send up balloons in all of our churches and turn tired old cathedrals into cafeterias for the hungry. Someday soon, we will make gravestones shine as bright as the sun. Someday soon, people will glimpse the face of God in their patient parents, use the eyes of friends in place of mirrors, bounce mountains on beach balls, write their names in the sunset, and become as free as Jesus Christ. Someday soon people will play kickball with cripples in the park and sing for their suppers in asylums. They will sink their teeth into politics for peace, airlift food and life to the starving, and discover senses in their souls as sharp as radar. Someday we will love someone because they are someone. We will grow flowers in our garbage cans, cover our cars with foam rubber, and turn our bombs into boomerangs and switchblades into finger paint. Someday soon we will slow down and wait for you, God, and run through the White House with muddy feet, and laugh with the budding spring leaves, and dance in the falling summer snow. Someday we will baptize our babies with love before birth, celebrate Easter as angels do below, and hang Christmas banners from Jupiter. Someday soon people will live like that, but we want to do it right now, Lord. We want to do it right now. Amen, Lord. And right now.